And good evening. It's Intuitive Soul Radio with your host, Lori Houston. And tonight, we are blessed again with Nancy Aruda from Universal Skies. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. We always love to have you because you come with extensive notes, and it's always very, very interesting. We're going to be looking at the astrological events of 2009. Is that what we're doing?
Correct.
You know, there's been a bit of a lot of previous shows where we've gotten messages, and so this is kind of cool because it's going to tie it in with what everything that's been going on. And I don't know if people have been feeling it, but you know, we've had some crazy things. Of course, we just got over an eclipse, which I know you're going to talk about. So let's go.
Okay, well, I'm going to start with the numerology for 2009 because it does reflect to the tarot and then into the astrology as well. And if we add up 2 plus 0 plus 0 plus 9, we are given the number 11. And 11 can then be added 1 plus 1, which is 2. However, with the number 11, it is a master number. And with master numbers, we always consider them. Master numbers are double-digit numbers where the single digit is the same. So 11, for example, 22, 33, 44, etc. With a master number, we need to look at this year as a year of mastery. Many people associate the 11 vibration to master teacher, okay? When we're trying to master something in life, and this is on a global level, but each individual's taking a part of that with them. When we're trying to master something, we're put in cycles of repetition. So we need to experience things over and over and over again in order to say that we have mastered it, okay? With the teacher vibration, for everyone, the universe works on a polarity. It's called the law of polarity. Mm-hmm. And keeping that in mind, we are also mastering being a student. So not only are we trying to be the master teacher, but we're also being the master student at the same time. So you can't have one without the other.
Right. to become the teacher, you have to learn. To learn, you have to have a teacher. So that makes sense.
Correct. Mm-hmm. So mastery is always fun. with the 11 vibration, it also brings in illumination, enlightenment, idealism. It will heighten people's intuition or psychic abilities.
Right.
Okay.
When was the last time we had an 11 year?
I have no idea. I didn't look into it.
No, you know,
not in my notes.
I'm trying to think because it's usually a two year, but it's only.
Yeah.
It's only a 2 year if it's if it adds up to an 11 as well.
Not necessarily. Like the year 2000 was a 2 year, a solid
right,
2.
So it wouldn't be a master year.
No.
No. Right. But then there might have been a 22 or a 33. Anyway, interesting to know. Okay.
2002 would have, oh no, that would be a 4. Sorry. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I'm thinking the 22s in the 2002. So with that, we're also working with the number 2 vibration. Okay, and the number 2 vibration is around relationships, partnerships, balance, harmony. Trying to establish that harmony within our relationships. If we look at the 2 numbers together, it's really about mastering relationships, and not just the relationships that you have with other people, but also the relationship that you have with yourself.
Right.
In the formula, what's missing, because when I do associate it to the tarot, is 20, which is judgment, which is connected to Pluto astrologically. Okay, and that bringing that vibration into the 3 numbers, so we have 2, 11, and 20. The 20 is unconscious, which means it's still there, but we're just not consciously working with that because we really need to focus on this reality.
Right.
Okay, this year. The 2 vibration is associated to the moon, and then we'll look at the eclipses, which are connected to the moon this year. The number 11, which is justice, is the sign of Libra. And there is something taking place in that sign, which I will get to later as well. So now on to the eclipses, which is always exciting.
there's also stuff going on with Pluto too, right?
Well, Pluto officially moved into the sign of Capricorn. Pluto officially entered the sign of Capricorn November 28th, 2008. And now it'll be there for 15, 16 years. So until January of 2024.
Yeah.
Okay. It'll dip into the sign in 2023, but then it retrogrades back out of it, and then it's officially in the next sign. Yeah.
It's going to going to be, and Capricorn's all about grounding it into reality.
Grounding energy, structures, building, success, the public eye, social status.
So even though it's a spiritual planet, it's still about the fact of Capricorn.
Well, Pluto's about death, transformation, rebirth. It's an evolutionary planet, so it helps us to evolve in life. And while in the sign of Capricorn, it's helping change society structures. It's not fast, destructive change by no means. It's a very slow, transformational or transmutational change that's taking place within society. You can, you know, take a look at how new leaders are being elected into new country or different countries, and how things are slowly starting to change because they realize that the structures they've set up in the past no longer support today's economy, today's social reform, you name it. It just no longer supports it. So slowly, over this 15, 16 year period, you will start to see changes happen at a rate of speed that will be supported.
Right.
Anything that happens too quickly won't sustain itself, right? So this is about slow evolutionary change.
Cool.
Kind of, yeah.
You want it happening faster? Are you an indigo? Are you one of those?
I like everything happening now. And then, of course, when it happens now, it's like, okay, how do you keep up with it, right? but just to note that Pluto did dip into Capricorn last year before it retrograded back into the sign of Sagittarius and then moved forward into Capricorn officially. So officially, it is a new cycle.
Cool.
With the moon, bringing it back to that number two vibration in the high priestess and the moon in astrology, we just experienced a solar eclipse on January 26th. It took place at 6 degrees of Aquarius. So anybody who has a planet that is close to that degree in the sign of Aquarius, and when I say close, about 7, 8, some astrologers will even give the moon and sun 10 degrees. So they will give the eclipse a 10 degree vibration. Okay, so if you have anything, any planets within 10 degrees, you will notice an activation on some level, okay, whether it's physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual, or all of them. With this particular, with eclipses, they allow for the opportunity to clear that which has been misaligned. Okay, so if there's anything that's not completely in alignment with your path and your purpose and your goals in life, you will be made aware of them. The solar eclipses are a little bit more gentle than the lunar eclipses. So this one wasn't too bad. However, in alignment with this eclipse, and before we get into the next one, the next eclipse is February 9th, 2009. It is at 20 degrees of Leo, so it's in its opposite sign, which means the sun is in Aquarius, the moon is in Leo.
Okay.
It is a lunar eclipse. They have a tendency to be a bit more emotional based. When we're experiencing this in the sign of Leo, we got to look at what does Leo represent. And Leo represents the ego. Okay, so there will be an identification breakdown some way, shape, or form with your ego identity. Everybody who's human has an ego. Mm-hmm. Okay, you can be a very spiritual person, but if you're human, you still have an ego on some level. Okay, there are different degrees of it. So within life as we know it, there will be something that challenges where it is that you're putting your heart, okay? Asking you to be more creative, open up to that creative energy. We need to look at eclipses as opportunities, okay? Because they are about opportunities to align, okay? To clear away anything that's not serving us on a larger level or on a more of a spiritual level. Their vibration lasts for about 6 months, which means we have an integration period. So we'll be integrating this set of eclipses for 6 months. Okay. The one on January 26th, with the just passed, was really around being a humanitarian, tapping into your brotherhood or sisterhood energy, aligning with the vibration of unconditional love and acceptance.
Right.
Which is fun.
Yeah.
What that means is we're being put in situations where we may lack unconditional love and acceptance so that we can integrate it. Okay, whereas the eclipse that's coming in the sign of Leo is about releasing and transmuting the ego so that it does serve that unconditional love and acceptance vibration, because they do work together, the eclipses. Mm. We're then integrating that vibration over the course of 6 months, and then the next set of eclipses is actually more than a set. There's three of them.
Right.
That happens from time to time.
Okay.
I don't know why.
Right, yeah.
Some people do. I don't. I didn't look it up. Sorry.
No, but I remember seeing that, thinking, oh, dear. That
yeah.
sounds...
There are three of them. July 7th, the eclipse, it's a lunar eclipse at 15 degrees of Capricorn. And then July 21st, there's a solar eclipse at 29 degrees of Cancer. And then a lunar eclipse August 5th at 13 degrees of Aquarius. So that Aquarius energy comes back again. Right. But we are starting a new lesson or something, a new gifts lesson. You can look at them both ways, opportunities as well as lessons.
This is the ending, or this one that's coming up will be the ending of the Aquarius and Leo, because there was there just one last year, or were there two? I think it was just one.
I think last year was just one,
yeah.
if I'm not
So it wasn't, we didn't have a big thing in Aquarius
no.
and Leo. The ones before that, though, wasn't there like three?
There was like five sets of the eclipses
sets.
Before that.
Right.
And trying to... I'm just flipping through my ephemeris here, looking in my book of all my planetary energies. So the set in... There was an Aquarius one in February of 2008, and that was the new moon, February 7th. However, the lunar eclipse was in the sign of Virgo. So that was finishing up the Pisces Virgo vibration.
Right.
So we did experience a bit of that eclipse. And then in the, it was August of 2008, there was the new moon in Leo and then the full moon, or I should say lunar eclipse in the sign of Aquarius. So we did have a Leo Aquarius.
Right.
We get to finish that Aquarius vibration August 5th. So there's just one more individual hit. However, it's pulling in a new vibration with it, and that's the Capricorn Cancer vibration. Again, Capricorn's around society, and Cancer's around the self or the home environment.
Right.
Okay, so it really has to do with nurturing ourselves, how we're nurturing ourselves. Is it serving us? How we nurture our home life. In order to achieve success out in the world. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people may feel some restriction coming with the July 7th eclipse because it is in the sign of Capricorn. Whereas the one in the eclipse on July 24th happens at, 21st, 2009, happens at 29 degrees of Cancer. Whenever something happens at 29 degrees of a sign, it is intensified because it's asking for completion. Okay, so and the moon is naturally ruled by the sign of Cancer, so it's going to be an intense one anyways. More intense for people who have stronger Cancer Capricorn energies in their own personal chart. So if, for example, if you don't have a lot of activity in those signs, you may pass by it. Okay, you'll notice that other people are experiencing it other than you.
Right, so I got hit. This one because it was really, really, really close to
yeah, it was
birthday.
2 days off your birthday.
Right. And then I have a Cancer rising. So that I'm going to get hit again. Is that what you're saying?
It'll be in your first house.
Right.
Depending on the degree of your rising sign. I didn't bring your chart, so
no,
I don't know
well,
offhand.
Yeah.
Depending on the degree of your rising house will determine how close it is. However, yeah, it'll be around you as an individual. Who am I?
Right.
So that's what you'll be evaluating who you are
right.
at a deeper level. Then before the year is up, we experience a lunar eclipse on December 31st, 2009. So there is in total 6 eclipses this year. Its paired eclipse isn't taking place until January 15th, 2010. So the eclipse that goes with that one, because they always come in pairs,
right.
Doesn't take place till the new year. But we're welcoming in the new year with an eclipse.
Wow.
So again, that's the sign of Cancer, Capricorn. Because it's a lunar eclipse on the 31st of December and then a solar eclipse on January 15th. 2010.
My ascendant is 26 degrees.
That's pretty Cancer. Close.
Good for me.
And it's a solar eclipse, which means both the sun and the moon will be together in the same space.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So there is, it's really around how you identify with yourself, how you relate to yourself,
right.
And then in turn it will reflect on how you're relating with others. Because whatever happens in one house, the vibration always mirrors in the opposite house. So you'll feel it internally. You know, you may feel like you need to make changes within who you are as an individual on many levels, how you're nurturing yourself.
But how's that going to lead for our, you know, New Year's Eve parties? I mean, let's get really practical here.
Oh, the one in...
December 31st.
December 31st is at 10 degrees of Cancer. The one that's more conjunct your ascendant is the one this summer.
Okay.
Yeah. The one on December 31st is actually taking place in your 12th house, so you may not feel it consciously.
Right.
You'll feel something going on. You just may not identify logically with what that is.
But what about everybody else's? I mean, usually the lunar eclipse is pretty intense, isn't it?
Yeah.
So right on our, you know, our big holiday.
It'll be a crazy year. Crazy New Year's.
Kinda, it's going to kind of make it, isn't it?
Yeah.
When it's something like that?
There's a potential for it or a possibility, but...
And that's a new moon, not a full moon, right?
That's a full moon.
Well,
the one on the New Year's. Yeah.
Got to be somewhere for that one. That's got to be too great.
Some tropical island somewhere.
For sure. Wow.
Yeah, so it should be interesting.
It should be very interesting. Wow. So we go into three sets, but we actually have 6 days of eclipses.
Yes. It? Yeah. So, and, you know, everybody's experiencing it in some way, shape, or form. Like I said, if you don't have any planets or anything that's strong within those degrees, it may not affect you consciously, right? Obviously, something's still happening because the energy is there, only it's not as dominant right. as if it does have a direct hit.
Right. Hmm.
So, and with the rising sign, you know your correct time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Because with the rising sign, if you don't have the correct time, it could be off.
Sure.
Right? So that's the exciting energy we have with
the eclipses.
With eclipses.
Yeah. Fun.
Yep. A lot of people are experiencing it now, okay? A very, like... crazy, crazy energy going on right now. That's not just the eclipse, though. Mercury just went direct on Sunday.
Yeah.
So we're getting over that. And as I told you earlier, I battled with a virus all day yesterday trying to get it out of my system.
And we're talking her computer system.
Yeah, my computer system, yes.
Body system.
No, not my body system. But like I was at it. Well, the scan can take several hours. I was at it for a very long time yesterday. So it's finally gone.
Yay.
And so we just came out of a Mercury retrograde period, which does have some miscommunication issues, creates miscommunication, chaos and traffic. I don't know if... Well, you don't drive, do you?
I do.
Oh, yeah. You do?
Mm-hmm.
Daily?
No.
Okay, because what I've noticed since this particular Mercury retrograde is people are in a big, big hurry to the point where they're not leaving enough space between you and them. And I really noticed a lot of aggressive drivers that are like right up on your tail,
mm-hmm.
right? Almost to the point where like energetically they're asking you to move and you can feel it, right? As you're driving. So that's one thing I did notice during this particular Mercury retrograde. There are three more this
Yay.
Year. We're in a
Mercury
lucky year
retrograde.
Where there's four of them. Typically there's only three. It does go retrograde every 88 days. So this particular year, we do have four. The next one takes place on May the 7th, and it's in the sign of Gemini when it goes retrograde. It'll retrograde back into the sign of Taurus, and then it goes direct May 30th. So pretty much the whole month of May.
Wow.
After that, we have September 6th, 2009. It goes retrograde in the sign of Libra. It'll retrograde into the sign of Virgo and then goes direct on September 29th. So that's pretty much the whole month of September.
And starts when? What date?
September 6th. So September 6th to September 29th. That's back to school, too.
Yeah.
So it's not really a supportive back to school vibration for most of the kids.
No.
And it's quite interesting because I've noticed that these two eclipses start in one sign. It started an air sign and retrograde back into an earth sign. Mm. So there's something around our foundation that we need to replan within those two particular hits. Actually, even the one in January, it went retrograde on January 11th, 2009, in the sign of Aquarius, went direct February 1st, 2009, in the sign of Capricorn. So it did retrograde back into Capricorn. So those three retrogrades started in an air sign, retrograded back into an earth sign. The last one for this year brings us into the new year. It goes retrograde on December 26th, 2009, in the sign of Capricorn, and goes direct January 15th, 2010, in the sign of Capricorn. So it's staying in the sign of Capricorn. Okay. So not only are we having an eclipse in Cancer, right, which is the opposite of Capricorn.
Right.
Okay, we're also experiencing Mercury retrograde at the end of the year.
So the trip I'm going to be on could possibly get delayed, and I could possibly be there longer.
Wouldn't that be lovely?
I'm trying to see positive. What could happen?
Just make sure you go away before December 26th.
Well, exactly.
Gosh. And then you can come back sometime mid-January.
Wouldn't that be nice? Okay, we're going to go away for 3 weeks.
Plus 2 days.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah. So we're, you know, next year is looking like it's going to be an interesting year.
The starting of it, yeah. That's a crazy way to start a year.
Mm-hmm.
Like a really crazy way to start a year.
It is.
Wow.
With the two vibrations.
Full moon eclipse
plus a Mercury retrograde. So we need to look at Mercury retrogrades as opportunities as well, because every vibration, as though we can focus on the negative, there's also a positive side to it. With Mercury retrograde, stick RE in front of anything that it's associated to. So rethink, replan, re-communicate, reread, rewrite. So really good time for editing, for example, if you're writing a book, it's a good editing process. So it can support you in those ways. It's just not good to start anything new with it.
Right.
So if you're completing something, then it will support it. There may be challenges within the completion, but it will support completion vibrations. It's just, and it doesn't support initiations. Hmm. So anything new.
Right.
Okay. Another really interesting thing this year, which I'm very excited about since I'm a Sagittarius and my ruling planet is Jupiter.
Ah.
And I like Aquarius vibrations. Jupiter is in Aquarius this year. So it just came out of being in Capricorn, which was really about like putting your nose to the grindstone, in which Jupiter kind of, you know, it's about expansion and growth, and it's a lucky vibration. And in the sign of Capricorn, it does feel a little bit restricted. It's now in the sign of Aquarius where it kind of gets to run wild and run free. So we have the biggest sign in the universe, kind of, or the biggest planet in the universe, jumping all over the place, erratically from time to time. It is beneficial for those people who are Aquarians or that have Aquarius energy in their chart. I have moon in Aquarius, so
it
means big emotion for me, but
right,
that's okay. Yeah. It's all good. With Jupiter, there's a tendency to rebel against the status quo within the sign of Aquarius. There is growth is, there's an opportunity for growth through networking. Okay, so if you have large networks, get involved in networking, then there are opportunities for growth either within your individual business or within, on the humanitarian level, helping other people of like mind. Interest in out-of-the-body experiences, lucid dreaming, alternative timelines, astrology, and higher beings will become more of a theme on the spiritual side of things this year. Okay, meditation still highly suggested. With Jupiter in Aquarius, we have the ability to expand our consciousness. Okay, or our ideas, our mental realm. Okay, we can really open it up. So there is a lot of mind exploration as well. On a more mundane level, there's big leaps in technology. So depending on, and technology is a vast field, so whether it's communication technology like computers, phones, that kind of thing, or whether it goes even bigger into medical technologies or, you know, wherever technology is impacting the world, which is pretty much everywhere. Mm-hmm. Right? There is a boost in the collective efforts, especially the kind that push to reform or revolutionize. So if we look, you know, to the U.S., for example, we have a new leader mm-hmm. taking place here. So that's, and it's one that's viewed as being, you know, quote, different, or end quote, than your typical U.S. leader has been in the past. So a lot of people are going to be risk-taking this year. So if you have, if Jupiter is a strong planet for you, and it's going to be aspecting strongly in your chart, you may find that you're more inclined to take risks. Okay, always keep with you the side of caution, and that goes for everybody. You know, it's just common sense.
Yeah, I'm not much of a risk taker. It's kind of funny.
Me neither.
I'm really not.
No.
You're a Virgo. You're not supposed to be.
I'm a Virgo rising.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. You're a Sagittarius.
Yeah, I'm a Sagittarius. Right. So my ruling planet is Jupiter.
Wow, I thought for some reason, no, okay, maybe that's why.
I look more like a Virgo than a Sag.
Okay.
Which means I'm shorter. I'm not really Sagittarius, considering it's the its ruling planet is the largest planet in the universe. Sagittarians are known as big individuals, so they're usually tall. Okay, have a tendency to put weight up around the hips and the thighs. Usually, they have longer legs or longer thighs. Okay, or like bigger in that zone, whereas. Yeah, okay, well, I can hold it there a little bit, but I'm really short. So that's where the Virgo comes in. I'm closer to the Earth.
I see.
Okay, as opposed to big like Jupiter.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right. Interesting.
Okay.
Funny that I picked that up, though.
Yeah. Cool. You remembered me saying I was a Virgo rising.
I guess.
Yeah. Or you just intuitively picked it up. The other really fun thing we're dealing with, and I don't know
she
if...
She looks like she's making a sarcastic comment.
Yes,
I'm not sure,
that is sarcasm.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yes, I tend to forget. You can't see facial expressions over the radio. is Saturn opposite Uranus? Now, we did experience the first hit. I call them hits, which means the first time it took place. On November 4th, 2008. And that was the day that was the U.S. election. It took place at 18 degrees of Virgo Pisces, which means Saturn was in the sign of Virgo, Uranus mm-hmm. is in the sign of Pisces. Okay, but they were both, they're completely opposite each other mm-hmm. in the universe. There is another hit coming up February the 5th, 2009. So that's just a couple days away. This year we will experience additionally one on September 15th, 2009.
And during one of our retrograde periods.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're both still taking place in the sign of Virgo Pisces. There will be two more hits, but not until 2010. April 26, 2010 in the sign of Virgo Pisces. And July 26, 2010, and here's where it's a little bit different because it's taking place in Libra Aries, which means Saturn will be in Libra and Uranus will be in Aries.
So it changes signs.
Yes.
Around that time.
Yeah. Both planets will be changing signs.
Wow.
Because they're both at 0 degrees, which is a new beginning energy. Okay. Nice. This aspect takes place every 40 years, approximately. Oh. So the last time we experienced it was the mid-1960s, so like 1965, okay? It was in the exact opposite signs as what it is in now. So we're experiencing Saturn in Virgo, Uranus in Pisces. In 1965, it was Saturn in Pisces, Uranus in Virgo.
Wow, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, and if you think about all the reform or the stuff that was going on in the mid-60s, okay, it's kind of the same vibration right now, okay, only slightly different, slightly opposite what it was back then.
Right. instead of the free, because Uranus is always about, you know,
freedom loving. Yeah.
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 So it's in what sign?
Uranus is in Pisces, which is a very creative sign.
And loving and emotional.
And yes. And Saturn's in Virgo. On a physical level, Saturn in Virgo will really restrict the stomach area. Okay, so if people are having difficulty with digestion since Saturn had moved into the sign of Virgo, there may be something impacting in your chart, for example. Uranus in Pisces is activating the nervous system. Okay, now if you think about upset stomach sometimes, if our nerves get out of whack, then of course the stomach will start turning like butterflies in the stomach or even nausea. Okay, that's how you may feel it physically. Emotionally, we will feel it as I'm noticing a lot of people's fears are being activated. Fears that they had, say, since childhood. Things that they didn't want to look at or change within themselves because the fear had overpowered them, so they held back. And if we take this as an opportunity, it's making us feel as though circumstances are being upheaved from outside forces. So it kind of feels like it's beyond our control. But if we look at what's being upheaved, okay, it's usually associated to something that we're scared to or don't consciously want to deal with. It does cause great inconvenience. So a lot of the things that are happening is like, oh man, like I don't have time for this or I don't want to deal with this. Mm. And it can also activate discomfort and tension. However, it aids us in moving out of being stuck or out of our comfort zone. Okay. Once we get stuck in a comfort zone, then there's no room for change or no room for growth. And people will sit there and say, well, how come things aren't changing for me? And it's because they're in this comfort zone that even though they'd like it to change, they're not really doing anything to make it changed. Mm-hmm. So we're being forced to make changes on a personal level. Long term, it is for something better. Okay, so even though there's a lot of inconveniences dealing with this vibration now, on a long term level, there is a good, great end result. At least that's the intention. You know, mythologically, Saturn and Uranus don't get along. They're enemies. Okay, and now they're kind of like at a face-off with each other. So.
Okay. Interesting to
note. And when we look at the Virgo vibration, it is to stimulate better health or to live healthier lifestyles that are more in alignment with Pisces, our spiritual path or our spiritual purpose.
And the one in 2010, I know we're probably going to have you back. Well,
oh, yeah.
We will have
for
you back.
For sure.
But
Libra Aries is all around relationships. So how we relate to ourselves as well as how we relate to others. And basically,
Libra is all about relationships.
Libra is all about relationship. Depending on where it is in your chart, it may activate a different area of life, but it really is pulling in the relationship vibration. The relationship that we have with ourself will mirror into the relationship that we have with others. So most people will say it's easy to notice things that are going wrong within their relationships. Easy to say, well, it's my partner did this, or it's my partner's fault here, or... And it's not really about putting the blame on somebody else. It's just easier to notice in somebody else other than the self. And the key thing to remember is if you're noticing it in others, then you must look within the self because it's happening there too. Right. Okay? You're just not looking within, you're looking without, outside of yourself. Mm-hmm. So it's around relationships, balance, harmony. Who am I? Who are you?
I'm Lori.
And also, you know, how do you define us, for example, in terms of relating?
Yeah. Interesting.
Okay, and it's a new vibration because it's taking place at 0 degrees.
Right.
Right, so it's at 0 degrees of the signs.
That's cool.
It's initiation, it's new, which means whatever we're being asked to look at, we may not have any past patterning or past identification with. So it can leave us stumped on some vibration if there's nothing familiar in the past to refer it to. We're creatures of habit. Okay, that's what human nature is. We habitually repeat things over and over and over again. Whether it's healthy or unhealthy, we continue to repeat things. And this year, it's really about looking at your cycles in life, not just on a day-to-day level, but also on a larger level. And that was the Libra vibration that I wanted to bring in, was Saturn moves into the sign of Libra this year. It will move into Libra on October 29th. It'll retrograde back into Virgo. And then on April 7th, it moves back into the sign of Libra until October 2012. So we will have 2 years. And again, the vibration starting in October of this year. But we'll have 2 full years of trying to understand not only ourselves, but who we're relating with.
Where Saturn has been in Virgo, from it's more than 2 years when it finally leaves. I think it's like almost 2.5. They were kind of saying, oh, you know, it's not usually this long, but you're kind of getting a little bit extra.
Yeah.
Which is usually good for Virgo because that's their moving sign, but...
But Saturn is really about limitation, restriction. Oh, yeah. So most people don't like working with the planet Saturn.
No.
Since it moved into Virgo September 2007. Right. Okay.
And it doesn't technically move out until April. So,
technically, yeah. Yeah. We'll experience a little bit of it, kind of like getting our foot in the doorway, but we'll still have one foot on either side of the doorway. Mm. Yeah. In the sign, you know, and again, depending on where Libra falls in your chart. Okay, so if it's on the first and seventh house cusps, okay, it's really around relationships to the self. You'll feel restriction in self-identification or identifying with other people. If it's in second house, eighth house, it's restriction with finances. Mm. Okay, rebuilding your financial structure, your financial portfolio, potentially having to pay back any money that's borrowed. If it's like, especially if it's eighth house, you'll find that the companies that you have owe money to may be more restrictive, and you'll notice that is happening anyways this year with you know, they're changing because of the economy. Mm-hmm. The banks are changing the way they loan out money,
right?
And they're getting harder on people who aren't making their minimum payments. If it's third house, ninth house, then it's really around communication and knowledge, education. If it's fourth house, tenth house, it's home versus career. So you'll find restrictions within home and career. Fifth house, 11th house, children, creativity, love, unconditional love and acceptance, friends, being accepted by groups, individuals. And then 6th house, 12th house really pulls in the being of service, not only to the self and other people, but also to humanity. Okay. Saturn in the 12th house is really a completion cycle. So if it's going through your 12th house, it's not a time to start anything new. Not a time for new relationships. Okay. If new relationships do take place, then they're not necessarily going to be easy ones. It doesn't mean that they're not beneficial. It just means they may not flow quite as easy. So, again, it all depends on where it's falling in your chart.
Mm-hmm. At the time.
At the time. It's still pulling in that vibration of balance, harmony, or feeling restricted within balance and harmony, as well as restriction within relationships, right? Mm-hmm. Setting boundaries with people that you are relating with, your children, your partner, coworkers, okay? One way that you can deal with it beneficially is to set healthy boundaries. If you're an individual that doesn't like setting boundaries, then that's going to be more difficult for you, right?
Yeah, boundaries.
So. Boundaries are fun, eh?
We're not very good at boundaries.
Again, another one of those sarcasm things.
Okay. Just in case you didn't notice.
Other things that are happening this year.
Retrogrades.
Our retrogrades, yes.
But now, we were like overwhelmed with retrogrades last year. Wasn't there times where like almost every planet was in retrograde?
Yes.
It was crazy, wasn't it?
The outer planets retrograde quite often.
Right.
And when they do, they aren't retrograde for a long period of time.
Right.
The way I look at outer planet retrogrades is you're really doing some internal work. So instead of pushing yourself out in the world, okay, you're figuring out who you are on an internal level. It's also allowing for the opportunity to redo and, or, you know, take any steps that you may have missed along your path, right?
If I remember correctly, there was like 1 month where we didn't have any planets in retrograde or something.
Yeah, there was at least something retrograde the whole year. Yeah.
Yeah.
This year, it's the inner planets. Okay, so we talked about the four Mercury retrogrades that are taking place. Venus goes retrograde this year. She wasn't retrograde last year at all.
Oh, okay.
Okay, she was in 2007, but not in 2008. When she goes retrograde, it's a longer time period because she is farther away from the sun. So she goes retrograde on March 6, 2009, and she goes direct on April 17th, 2009. So that's almost like a five-week period. It's taking place in the sign of Aries, and it's smack dab right in the center of the sign of Aries. It will retrograde back to the last degree of Pisces.
Hmm.
Okay, so it'll
retrograde. Which means completion or something?
Yes. And when I look at Pisces, I like to think of 29 degrees of Pisces as karmic completion.
Oh.
Okay. Astrologically, a lot of astrologers put Venus as the planet that rules relationships. So here's that relationship energy again. She's ruled by two signs, Taurus and Libra. Okay, so she owns kind of like domain over two astrological signs. When we think of the Taurus vibration of Venus, it's really about possessions and values and beliefs. Mm-hmm. When we think of the Libra association to Venus, it's about relationships and balance and harmony. And love, okay? We can also love our possessions. We can love money. Mm-hmm. So we can also blend the two vibrations. She will be in the sign of Aries, which means she's opposing one of her natural signs, okay? Or her rulership signs. With Venus in Aries, women may be a little bit more selfish, thinking about them as opposed to other people. But it, again, we're still working with the Libra, so we're integrating that anyways, okay? But the vibration here of it going retrograde is really about reevaluating what it is you value and believe in on a personal level, okay? So that's men and women, not just... Men may notice the women are more withdrawn versus men being withdrawn. And we're working towards a karmic completion, which means there's something within your life that you're fed up with repeating over and over and over and over again. It could be around relationships. It could be around your values and beliefs. But it has to do with the individual, so the self. That's where it's kind of personalized for everybody on what particular vibration they're working with. And while she's retrograde, there's an internal energy. Be very careful about what you're buying. Okay, and ask yourself, do I really need this or do I just want it? Because if you're buying something for a want, that means you're trying to fill some hole within yourself. You're trying to fill something that's missing or find something that's missing. So if you're purchasing out of the idea of I want this, I want this, I want that, you need to ask yourself, what is it that you really do want? Because I'll tell you, it's not the physical stuff you're buying.
Mm-hmm. Always. And with the year that we're having, probably not the time to be going out and spending.
No, no. So spending thrifty is a good idea. Mm-hmm. So if you're a thrifty shopper, then that's always good. But it's also going to play on the economy a little bit as well, even though Jupiter rules the economy, okay. Typically. Jupiter's the one about big money, big business, okay? Venus is about personal money. So this is individuals. Okay, money as versus their investments. Okay, it's not really about their investments. It's about how they're managing their portfolio on a day-to-day versus long-term. Okay. So again, just be aware, be conscious of what you're doing and why you're doing it. A lot of people will be withdrawn during this period. Okay. Some may call that depression.
So from March 6th to April 17th.
March 6th to April 17th. Okay, it's not going to be an outward or an outgoing type of energy. Typically, the springtime is, okay? So that's like smack dab right in the middle of, or the beginning of spring.
Mm-hmm.
And typically, people start, they're out there, they're doing, they're going, they're buying their garden supplies, not so much the plants yet, but the supplies that they would need for outside. And they may find that there's a little bit of a drop in those sales this year. And then... Mars goes retrograde as well.
That's kind of action.
Action, yes. But it's also a planet that can trigger our emotional natures.
Ooh, especially when it's in Leo. Is that what I see?
It's in the sign of Leo. It goes retrograde at the end of the year.
Oh, Wow.
December 20th, 2009, at 19 degrees of Leo, it goes retrograde, and then it stations direct on March 10th, 2010.
A little bit longer.
It's in the sign of Leo. Okay. One thing that I know about Mars retrograde, and I've heard it time and time again, then I've heard horror stories associated to this as well. Do not schedule any elective surgeries.
Mm.
With Mars retrograde.
In Leo, which is all about you and your
Well,
Leo's
your
expression.
Heart center. It's the heart itself as an organ. The heart rules blood flow. Mars retrograde stimulates active blood flow. Okay, people's adrenaline levels will be kicked in during this time period. Emotional repress, like things that have been repressed emotionally, have a tendency to explode on some levels. Okay, so yeah, a lot of anger, frustration, again, anxiety, because as your blood's pumping through your veins, it can trigger your nervous system as well. That is why it is not suggested to have elective surgery. If it's mandatory emergency surgery, yeah. Do it. If it's elective, which means cosmetic surgeries or anything that's not, anything that can wait, or if you can put it off, put it off. There's a tendency to either have thin blood during this time period or the inability to stop bleeding. Okay, because Mars is really kicking in that adrenaline and letting the blood flow through your veins very quickly. Again, dental surgery, most of the time that is elective. Postpone it. Hmm. Okay. I have heard horror stories.
Really?
Yeah. Someone I know had a stomach operation done where they had put a clip so that they could lose weight, and it actually punctured. So during the surgery, it punctured the lining of the stomach, and the doctors weren't aware, sewn the individual back up again, where, of course, all the stomach gases and acids started corroding, and then internal bleeding started, and he was rushed into emergency surgery. It took 18 hours to repair the damage, and it took him over 2 years to heal.
Wow.
And that was elective surgery.
Yeah.
During a Mars retrograde. Worst case scenario.
Wow.
Clearly. But, you know, if it can be avoided, then, you know, just ever since I've, you know, I know the person that that happened to. And ever since that point in time, I'm like, okay, no dental work, no elective surgery. I'm not one for surgery to begin with. So it's not one of my favorite pastimes.
And how often does Mars go into retrograde?
Mars goes retrograde about once every 22 months.
Okay.
I believe. Whereas Venus goes retrograde about once every 18 months. Okay, so we won't experience the next Mars retrograde. So if that's 2009 till 2011, I guess. Hmm. Yeah.
Well, nope. It might even be
2011, 2012.
Yeah.
It's actually January 2012.
Wow.
So it'll be a while.
Yeah.
And then in the next, when it goes retrograde, then it'll be in the sign of Virgo, which is around health, changing mind patterns, because Virgo has highly analytical tendencies, or there's a that highly analytical vibration with Virgo. So it could be your mind's making you angry, the way you think. You need to change your thought process at that point in time. Whereas in the sign of Leo, ego stuff, okay, totally being activated. Anything that you're getting angry over between those time periods is really about, you know, associating to your ego on some level.
I know somebody who has their sun, their moon, and their rising sign in Leo. She's great as a hairdresser.
She would be great
She's
as a
awesome.
Hairdresser.
But, oh, my God.
See, and that's where we're, you know, harmoniously using the energy, because Leo is vain. It's all about vanity. So what a perfect career for that individual.
Yeah.
Right? Working on making other people beautiful and allowing them to want to look in the mirror.
Yeah. No, it is great. So I think she has 8 signs in fire.
Wow. So she's probably got a very big personality.
She's a huge personality.
A lot of times, excessive Leo energy, there's a lot of drama with the individual as well. Okay, and not necessarily a bad thing. It can be used beneficially.
Yes.
It is the sign of fame, right? So a lot of famous people, because it's a very creative sign as well. And in order to be a good singer or a good actor, you need to be able to tap into not only the vanity associated to that, but the creative abilities associated to that sign as well.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. She's fun. Love her to death.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, we did mention that Uranus would be going into the sign of Libra, and it's still in the sign of Pisces. It moves into the sign of Aries, but that's not until next year.
Okay,
so that's not taking place this year, that's taking place next year. And that's when, like we briefly mentioned it with that last Saturn opposite Uranus,
right?
That takes place at 0 degrees, so right. That is next year,
right? And right. And Saturn, starts at the end of this year, but then doesn't.
Yes.
Until.
Yeah, and then retrogrades back and then moves in.
And does Saturn retrograde? Yeah, every... Will it
Saturn retrogrades quite often.
Okay.
So it's retrograde at least once a year.
Okay.
Okay, for several months at a time.
But we don't have one this year?
Oh, yes, we do.
Oh, of course.
Guaranteed. I just... Because it does happen every year, it's not really a
big
thing. It will go retrograde. Yeah. Oh, we started the year with Saturn retrograde.
Oh.
So it retrograded December 31st, 2008.
Oh, really?
So it'll be retrograde all the month of January, all the month of February, March, April, and it goes direct in May.
Yeah.
So it's 5 months, right? Mm. Yeah, that's a 5 month vibration. And it will go direct on May 17th. Well, 16th here in Canada, right? In our time zones. So, and again, it's still in the sign of Virgo. It does go retrograde again later.
Okay, so today is February 2nd, which is Groundhog Day.
Groundhog Day.
Now we've had, you know, some pretty intense weather for our winter. You think? I mean, not only have we had so much snow, but it's also been extremely cold, which is really not usually what happens. And I don't know if astrologically that is explained anywhere. I mean, I would imagine it have something to do with the moon. But, you know, I mean, it's been crazy. We've had a crazy winter.
There is a form of astrology that is astrological weather. I've never looked into it myself personally, so I wouldn't have a clue.
Okay, so intuitively. What is going on?
Intuitively, I would have to say it has something to do with Saturn opposite Uranus.
Oh.
And that vibration. The Earth is shifting as well. The Earth is changing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Every time the Earth makes a major shift, so for example, a tsunami, for example, it does alter the axis of the Earth and its wobble.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So what happened to global warming?
I think global warming's still happening on many levels, but we'll notice a shift in how it's taking place. If we look at the weather of last year, for example, it rained a lot in BC over the summertime. I think we had a lot of rain, too, this summer.
We had a lot of rain, yeah.
And I
did blame that partially on me, but,
you know. Did you call for the rain?
No, just, you know, I was in a grieving period, and I was healing, remember?
Well, as we heal as individuals, so does the planet
exactly.
Earth.
I do apologize for that, however. It was not intentional.
So the Earth is shifting, and I'm finding that the temperatures are shifting.
Yeah.
So where it used to be, like, really hot and warm, isn't as hot and warm as what it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
I know my parents are in Florida right now, and I've talked to my mom several times, and she's like, it's so cold down here, it's freezing, right?
Yeah.
So she was expecting much warmer weather,
yeah.
But it's 10 to 15 degrees Fahrenheit, I really don't know Fahrenheit, cooler than what she was anticipating, so.
Hmm.
Anyways, I do find that, yeah, it's shifting.
Yeah.
It is, there's been a lot of cold bitterness in the air.
Warming up? finally, I mean, I know the last 2 days have been beautiful, but do you think we're kind of coming out of the thaw?
It's interesting how we had a couple days of warmth around Groundhog Day. I want to say no. Now, I don't know because, you know, I don't do weather astrology. But
intuitively, you're saying no.
Intuitively, I don't think it's done.
No.
No. We got a skidoo this year, so I still have a lot more skidooing to do.
Okay. You are not allowed to profit from the weather, all right? Some of us don't want to be cold.
Well, I don't like it when it's cold. Like Sunday was beautiful.
Wasn't it gorgeous?
More days like that, more skidooing for me.
Oh, I see. You just need the snow. You don't actually want the cold
temperatures. No, I don't want the cold temperatures. Right. And it's not fun to skidoo when it's actually snowing because it's harder to see.
It is.
Mm-hmm. Right? With the snow hitting off your goggles and yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
And so what do you think intuitively is your prediction for 2009? Of what's going to be happening economically and, you know.
It's the beginning of big change.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm seeing it as the beginning of change. The
yes,
change is going to take some time, okay? And it's not just global change that's taking place. It's also happening on an individual level. More and more people are becoming conscious. More and more people are becoming aware. They're going to need people to assist them with their consciousness and their awareness. Mm-hmm. However, at this point in time, it's really about integrating those changes into the mundane reality. And then in turn, we'll reflect into the spiritual reality. Mm-hmm. So I think it's changed for the better. Mm-hmm. I really do. You know, many people are talking about the 2012 gateway.
Yeah.
I don't think we've started the initiation yet, but I do believe either later this year or by beginning of 2010, the initiation to the opening of the gateway or whatever you want to call it.
So
of
what
the
do
2012.
You think 2012 is about?
I think it's about reform on many levels. Okay. Is there... I'm not associating it to a world event where, you know, we're done by no means. Like the Mayan calendar says, that's it, done. I don't think it's that. I think it's just
a new shift in consciousness, though?
Huge shift in consciousness.
And so therefore, the consciousness that existed during the Mayan time would be gone, really. I mean, could it be that we're just shifting in a complete different, new, even possibly dimension?
I think we're starting to actually feel the rays in vibration. Mm-hmm. So many light workers have been working on shifting the vibration of themselves, and I think the rest of humanity is finally getting excited about it and taking steps in order to shift their own vibration.
Yeah.
Right now, whether or not they're doing it consciously or not, you could on the I can never say this word inauguration. Yes,
mm-hmm.
I never turned on the news.
Right,
and I could literally feel this happy vibration coming up from the earth all the way to my ears. So it was like there was actually a change in the density of the vibration. And it was emanating up from the earth. It was like the earth was dancing, right? And it was kind of like the boom, boom, boom off of a very loud speaker. And you could literally feel waves of excitement coming up from the earth itself.
Yeah.
And, you know, I didn't turn on the news, I didn't turn on the radio or the television to get, but I knew it was taking place, but you could just feel the excitement in the air,
mm-hmm.
right? A lot of people were celebrating that day.
Oh, a lot of people were celebrating that day, all over the world.
All over the world, yes. And, you know, still some people not too happy about that change, but, you know, change is imminent, right?
Mm-hmm.
However, the excitement overpowered. It was literally oozing out of the earth's core. And up through the crust of the earth. And that's how I experienced it. It has gone back down again, which means you're still not feeling that high vibration come from the earth, because now people need to integrate that into their daily life and into their daily experience. And it's through the integration process that sometimes we let go of the excitement, the initial inspiration that got us there, but it was vibrating. And I think that's what 2009 is all about. Kind of feeling the higher vibration.
Nice. All the way to 2012.
Yes.
And beyond.
And beyond, yeah.
Yeah.
I just think there's going to be some bigger changes that take place between now and 2012.
Which is really, what, December 23rd? I've heard so many different things, December 21st.
I've heard December 21st. I've heard December 12th.
Yes, I was going to, that was,
right?
Yeah.
And lucky me, that's my birthday.
Oh.
12-12.
12-12.
Well, that'll be a champagne year, like threefold, right?
Wow. Cool.
Yeah, only I won't be 12. So,
are you anywhere in denomination of 12?
Does this mean I have to think about my age right now?
Because like, you don't have to. Just, you know.
That's what I'm horrible for remembering my age.
Well, you'd have to be like 36 or
no,
38,
I'm,
which you're definitely not.
I'm 39.
Right.
I remembered.
On December 12th, that...
No, I'm 39 now.
Now.
So now do the math.
So you'll be 40 this year. You'll be 41, 42, 43. Okay. Yeah, if you were 44, that would have been perfect.
Yes.
But it'll always be perfect. Everything's always perfect. Yeah. All right. Well, you know, I can't believe the hour's already gone.
Oh, right? I know. And I'm thinking, did I bring enough notes?
You did wonderful, as always.
Thank
it's
you.
Always a pleasure to have you, and we will, I'm sure, have you back before we go into our summer shutdown, if I get to this year. And yeah, we'll have you back before then.
Thank you for having me.
No, you're welcome. So we'll be back on Friday with the Willows.